What's up, Raider Nation? Matt Holder from Silver and Black Pride here. Well, the Raiders' playoff hopes are pretty much over, but we still have four more games left on the docket, including this Sunday against the New England Patriots. So we've got this week's injury report, the news stories, and your questions to get to. Let's do it. The House Oversight and Reform Committee released a 79-page final report from their investigation of the Washington Commanders owner Daniel Snyder for workplace misconduct within the organization. The report's most significant finding was that Snyder, quote-unquote, permitted and participated in the team's toxic work culture, and the NFL was complicit in Snyder's attempts to cover up the scandal, per ESPN. Former Raiders head coach John Gruden's racist and misogynic emails, which were leaked to the media back in October of 2021 and led to his resignation, were also brought up in the report. Bruce Allen, former Raiders executive and former Commanders president and the recipient of Gruden's emails, testified that Lisa Friel, the NFL's senior vice president, indicated to him that the Commanders were responsible for the leak. ESPN's report states that investigators found evidence that Snyder's lawyers sent the emails to the league in the summer of 2021, essentially in an attempt to make Allen a scapegoat for the workplace misconduct allegations. In a surprising move, the Raiders waived guard John Simpson on Friday after the loss to the Rams. Simpson was a starter all of last season and was the team's starting left guard for weeks 1 and 2 of this season, but hadn't seen the field since then until Alex Barrs went down last Thursday. So, Simpson finished the game and was cut a day later, and that was after head coach Josh McDaniels said that Barrs was probably going to miss some time. The 2020 fourth round picks released leaves cornerback Amik Robinson as the last of the seven remaining picks on the roster from that draft class, and Robinson was the last pick of that year. Simpson would go unclaimed, but did visit the Ravens on Thursday. I'll go ahead and transition to the rest of this week's roster moves as the Raiders claimed guard Nate Matui off the Broncos practice squad. Matui actually played last week and has been with Denver since 2020 as he was a sixth round pick out of Fresno State. With Barrs' injury, and the Raiders also waived guard Lester Cotton by the way, there's a good chance Matui could start this Sunday. To make room on the roster, the Raiders placed linebacker Jaylon Brown on injured reserve with a hand injury, and that will end his season and give more opportunities to rookie Luke Masterson. Las Vegas also called up offensive lineman Hieronymus Grasu from the practice squad and signed linebacker Keanu Maga and guard Willie Wright to the practice squad. Maga is a rookie from USC who has also spent time with the Broncos, while Wright is a three-year vet out of Tulsa who has spent time on a few teams' practice squads. The Raiders also signed guard Jordan Merida to the practice squad, and Merida spent training camp with the team. As an update from last week, defensive tackle Kendall Vickers signed to the Bills practice squad after the Raiders let him go from the active roster and were reportedly interested in bringing him back. The Arizona Cardinals waived former Raiders cornerback Trayvon Mullen this week, which means the conditional 7th round pick the Raiders received from him will now stay a 7th rounder, as it could have been a 6th had he played in two more games. The Cowboys ended up claiming Mullen later in the week. For a visits update, defensive back and Grey Cup champion Jamal Peters and veteran tight end Levine Toilolo were in Las Vegas this week. While the Raiders are virtually eliminated from the playoffs, they do still have a small mathematical chance at making the postseason if they run the table, so I figured I'd run through how the Raiders can get eliminated this weekend. If the Raiders lose and the Dolphins beat the Bills on Saturday night, then Las Vegas is eliminated, or if the Raiders lose and the Jets beat the Lions, then Las Vegas is also eliminated. In other words, this Sunday against the Patriots really is a must-win game if the Raiders want to have any chance at making the playoffs. Alright, time for your news roundup of the week. Last Thursday, defensive end Max Crosby joined teammate Chandler Jones as the only defensive lineman to record 70-plus tackles and 10-plus sacks in their first 13 games of the season. And on a related note, running back Josh Jacobs set a couple of franchise records against the Rams, surpassing Napoleon Kaufman with 36 runs of 10 or more yards on the season, and Jacobs scored his 11th rushing TD, which is the most in 13 games by a Raider, since Latavius Murray in 2016. The Raiders also got good news in regards to Jacobs, as the x-rays were negative on his injured pinky finger, and he was able to function after propping it back into place, so it sounds like he just dislocated it last Thursday. Las Vegas got even more good injury news this week as tight end Darren Waller and wide receiver Hunter Renfrow both returned to practice, starting their three-week clock to get activated, and it seems like they'll be able to play on Sunday. Heading into the weekend, the Raiders currently hold the 8th pick of the NFL draft, with the 4-8-1 Colts sitting ahead of them at 7th, and the 5-8 Panthers behind them at pick number 9. Moving on to the injury report, and as always, I'll start with the Raiders' DNPs. As mentioned earlier, guard Alex Bars will likely miss the game and hasn't practiced this week with a knee injury, and Matui and Grasso will likely be the two most likely replacements. Cornerback Rocky Sin hasn't practiced for the second week in a row with a knee injury, so Emmick Robinson and Sam Webb will likely get more run this weekend again. The following guys are limited on Thursday: defensive tackle Andrew Billings, fibula, but that's a good sign for him as he missed last week's game; offensive tackle Jermaine Illuminor, oblique and wrist; running back Josh Jacobs, quad and hand; and linebacker Denzel Perryman, hip. Finally, guard Dylan Parham was a full participant with a knee, same with Sam Webb, illness, and defensive end Malcolm Kuntz, knee. As for the Patriots, running back Ramondre Stevenson hasn't practiced after suffering an ankle injury last week, and the same goes for wide receiver Devontae Parker with a concussion, cornerback Jack Jones, knee, and offensive tackle Isaiah Wynn, foot. The Pats did get running back Damian Harris, who has been out with a thigh injury, and defensive tackle Christian Barmore, who was on IR with a knee, back at practice in a limited fashion this week as well. And that'll do it for this week's injury report. Here we go, mailbag time. As your weekly reminder to have your questions answered on a future podcast, tweet them at me, AdamHolder95, or email them to sbpquestions1@gmail.com, AdamHolder95 or sbpquestions1@gmail.com. First up, can you talk about Max Crosby's hopeless post-game press conference where he gave indifferent answers like, it sucks that we have to get off our feet and look at the tape and make a final push, and the question goes on about the team's effort, yada yada. So here's what I'll say about Max Crosby's post-game press conference. Obviously, it's frustrating to hear. It's frustrating to keep hearing the same things that week after week. I'm there right there with you, especially from, you know, some of the team's leaders about, you know, we got to stop shooting ourselves in the foot, and yet they keep shooting themselves in the foot. But I also think it's kind of, from the player's perspective, sucks to be continuing to say the same things. And I don't know, when I watched that press conference, I just kind of felt like I was looking at a defeated man who just really didn't even know what to say anymore. I think, you know, obviously the emotions of the game were still raw because it was in the locker room and all that stuff. So I don't think, from Max Crosby's perspective, that he was necessarily trying to be, I don't know what the right word is here, it's like nonchalant or act like he didn't care. To me, it just looked like I was watching a defeated man try and speak. You know, I don't know how much we want to get into it. I understand people are frustrated. And again, I understand people are tired of hearing the same things after over and over again and not seeing any changes and the way the season's gone. But what I will say is, you know, as far as like an effort and stuff like that goes, Max Crosby's not exactly a guy that's just loafing it out there. I mean, we've watched him. He's up there in the sacks. He's up there for the most sacks in the NFL, up there with pressures. And I mean, the guy's getting freaking tackled out there, playing his ass off every play in and play out. So for me, I kind of look at those comments as a guy that just doesn't know what to do, doesn't know what to say anymore, because again, I'm sure he's probably tired of saying the same exact thing every week and giving him and the team keep blowing leads and stuff like that. So I think it was probably just a guy who was out of answers, to be honest with you, and I can't blame him too much, but I get the frustration. And I will say, did say he feels bad for the fans if that makes it any better and makes him win you guys over a little bit more. But yeah, I get it, frustrating. But I don't know if I look too much into that. Question 2, why did the Raiders waive Simpson and Cotton? It doesn't seem like Simpson got a fair chance, and does this mean McDaniels is punting on the season? You know, I definitely agree with you that I don't feel like Simpson got a fair shot. I didn't think he played all that bad against the Rams last week. Actually, I thought he played all right. My guy Mark John shared a few clips of him making a couple nice blocks on Bobby Wagner. And I mean, like we were talking about before, we're talking about the Raiders starting guys off the practice squad, whether it was their own or the Broncos practice squad this week. So I definitely feel like Simpson should have been kept around and definitely feel like he got a raw end of the deal. So I definitely can agree with you on that point. On Cotton, I think it was just a matter of guys been here for, or been around for a while now. I think he's been around since 2019, something like that, 2019, 2020, 2-3 years, had his chance to start at the beginning of the year, was, if I remember correctly, he was heading into training camp. He was the starter. And I feel like for most of camp, he was the starter and just kind of played his way out of it. So I definitely feel like kind of Cotton was just a long time coming and probably better for him at this point for them to move on and try his luck somewhere else. But yeah, with Simpson, didn't make a ton of sense. As far as McDaniels punting on the season, I mean, I definitely don't feel like there is a whole lot of incentive for the Raiders to win. That being said, I don't think this necessarily signals that they are just kind of giving it up and mailing it in. I think especially for McDaniels, I think especially as the head coach, where you wear that record, you're really never going to see a team punt or try and tank. I think that's more of a, honestly, more than anything, more of something that gets talked about the fans and the media. And I mean, I still will contend it's a better strategy than for team building than going 7-10 or whatever they're about to do. But I don't think that them getting rid of two guys who are backup guards is really going to be a sign of them punting. I think they're just, honestly, more than anything, I just think the biggest problem that Simpson and Cotton had where they were brought in by the old regime, and the new regime has made it pretty clear, McDaniels and Ziegler made it pretty clear, that unless you were a stud, you're not going to stay around very long. I mean, they cut Alex Leatherwood, who was a first-round pick, before the season even started, pretty much because they didn't have, or because he wasn't their guy. I mean, at that time, they did not have another right tackle, and they still made that decision. So, yeah, I don't think this is necessarily them punting, but more a sign of they're just going to kind of do it with their guys. And if you're not a stud from the old regime, you're probably not going to stay around for very long. Next up, how are the Gruden/Mayock picks who are no longer on the Raiders doing? Maybe they have blossomed since they left the Raiders, or they have just been draft busts. And this person specifically names Muse, Mullen, Leatherwood, and Edwards. Nice little transition here. I mean, they're all not really playing anymore. Tanner Muse is still on the Seahawks. I believe he's on the active roster at this point, but he's barely played. Trayvon Mullen, you guys heard me talk about him earlier. He just got let go by the Cardinals, was barely playing for them. I saw this last week. He got credited with 4 missed tackles. That's probably why they cut him. So he hasn't been playing well. Leatherwood, been playing for the Bears, literally has only played 1 game this year, at least offensively. So obviously struggling. The Bears are a team that's had offensive line issues this year, so it's not a good sign. And Bryan Edwards, if you're listening to last week's show, he got released by the Falcons in a similar situation with Mullen, where I think the Raiders didn't have a conditional pick. I think they just got the 5th for Edwards. Never mind. But yeah, so those guys specifically, not really doing much. I mean, like I kind of like what I was hinting at before, the guys that are playing, the guys that are good players from the Mayock and Gruden era, the McDaniels and Ziegler are keeping those guys around. They're just not going to be patient with the guys that they don't think are good, like John Simpson, like the guy like Trayvon Mullen, like Alex Leatherwood and Bryan Edwards. So, yeah, most of the guys that have left really haven't done anything. I mean, Jonathan Abram, he's on the Seahawks now after getting let go by the Packers. Let's see. Obviously, Josh Jacobs is playing pretty well, but let's see. Yeah, but yeah, most of the picks that have gone are playing pretty bad elsewhere too, which is more frightening when you think about what the Gruden era entailed and what that could have been if they had let him go on for 10 years, I guess. All right, last question here. With the signing of Muti, if Bars can't go and Muti catches up, does he slot in at left guard so they can move Parnum back to right guard? If Muti works out, maybe good for long-term value. He's only 23. So I definitely think you can make that switch. I mean, they could have made that switch too, because I don't think Alex Bars was playing any better at right guard and Parham was there too. I don't know. I feel like they kind of want Parham to play left guard. Like that whole switch didn't make a ton of sense to me, so I feel like they're trying to groom him at that spot. Exactly why, I don't know. Maybe they're big on the whole blindside thing and they want to stick him there. So, I mean, I guess they could. Muti has pretty much played left guard at Fresno too. And as far as him having a good long-term value, he was actually a pretty good player coming out of Fresno. His problem was he could just not stay healthy. I think his freshman year, he blew out his Achilles. I think maybe his junior, sophomore year or redshirt freshman year, he started like every game and actually played, but that was like the only season he did. Cause I think the year after he got banged up again. And then his last year, he only played in 3 games. So he's a guy that in the draft community, like over the summer and summer scouting, everyone liked to hype up because he's such a physical dude and a really good offensive lineman, a really good guard, but he couldn't stay on the field. And that's why he slid to the 6th round. So I do think there is some potential for him to maybe be like a little diamond in the rough, and a little nice late season pickup there, where he could maybe even be a starter going into next year. And like you said, he's only 23. There could be a ton of future value. It's just a matter of how long his body can hold up. And that's going to be the biggest thing for him moving forward, because he was a beast when he was on the field at Fresno. All right, that'll do it for this week's episode. And as your weekly reminder, the Raiders kick off at 1:05 p.m. PST on Fox this Sunday. So mixing up the channel on you guys, but still in that afternoon West Coast kickoff time slot. As always, make sure you're following Silver and Black Pride. Make sure you're following me on Twitter. Thank you for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe, and download wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, guys.